John chapter number 6, verse number 1. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
All righty. It says, after these things in verse number 1, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he, that's Jesus, said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they could. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. Of course, this is the feeding of the 5,000. It's a story that probably most of us are very well rounded in and know about this story. And so Jesus saw the multitude came. He looked and he asked this question as he lifted up his eyes. And he said in verse number 4, he says, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And I want to look just real briefly this morning, as the Lord would help me, the benefits of bread. The benefits of bread. Now, we all like bread. Some like just white bread, wheat bread, honey bread, honey wheat bread. I like my grandmother's homemade bread. Say amen right there. I mean, that she'd put in the thing in that pan, and she'd put that dough in there and put that cut, that towel over it, and that dough would rise up. She'd slide that thing into the oven. She'd pull it out, put that nice homemade butter right across the top of it. It would melt and run over and just fill that pan full. Slice me a piece of that and son, go to town on some hot grandmother's bread. I believe my grandmother's bread's going to be in heaven, amen. And so, I mean, it's that good. And so, I mean, there's benefits in bread. And so we see the first thing real quickly, and I'm going to give you 5 points, and then I'm going to tie them all together at the end. Here we see that bread can help the hungry. Bread can help the hungry. And so we see that when there's somebody hungry, what's the first thing you're usually going to do? You're going to get them something to eat. We get a lot of people that call Anchor Baptist Church asking for money, and we says, well, money is not our ministry, but food is. And it's amazing how many people that's driving just fancy cars, which would be fancy to me. I mean, I don't have much, but cars that you would think that are fancy are pulling up, and they're starving to death, and they're needing something to eat. And we give them that physical bread, because physical bread will help the hungry. There's benefits in bread. You can look at me and see there's a bunch of benefits in bread. I went to the Philippines, and I'm a pretty big guy, and they all looked at me and said, man, you fat. I said, we're fighting. He said, no, that's a good thing. I was like, I hope so. You know, but I like bread. I'll eat bread sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly, peanut butter and banana. I mean, I know that some of y'all like mayonnaise and banana, but I'm telling you, bread is a staple of our house. Amen. And so we see that bread helps the hungry. Number 2, take your Bibles, open up to Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter number 45. Of course, this is the story of Joseph and his brothers. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was thrown in the pit, went from the pit to the Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house to the prison, and from the prison he went to the palace. And so Joseph is over the corn, and there was just a famine that's on the land. And so he comes to Genesis chapter number 45, but in Genesis number 43, he's before his brothers, and he wept, and he hasn't shown himself to his brothers yet. But he said this one phrase. He said, set on bread. And so he fed his brothers who didn't know him at the time. He was giving them that bread that they needed because they were coming for the corn to make the bread. But then in Genesis chapter number 45, and of course this is where Joseph is revealing himself to his brothers, and he showed himself to his brothers, and he come down in verse number 11, and he says this, and there, well let's back up to verse number 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast, and there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And so we see that he said that he would nourish them. Turn your Bibles over to Genesis chapter number 47, and we'll see how Joseph nourished his family. It says in Genesis chapter number 47, verse number 12, and it says, and Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread. Bread will help the hurting. Bread will help the hurting. You get somebody that's hurting enough, they'll eat bread. We were going over yesterday into Hendersonville, and there was this lady that was on the side of the road, and I was watching her. We were at a red light, and it always amazes me. I watch this kind of stuff, and this lady had a sign that she was traveling, and it was raining. Her cardboard sign was wet, and she had a dog. And I was watching this, and I was asking my wife that, you know, it's always amazing they got healthy dogs. And so I was watching all this stuff, and they were going through, and this lady pulled up beside her, rolled down the window in her rain, and I watched what come out the window. I thought that she was going to give her money, but she didn't give her money. She gave her bread right out in the midst of trouble. That lady was hurting. That lady was in need of something that would help her to travel along the way, and that lady handed her some bread. Well, Joseph told his family, he says, I'll nourish thee, but he says, I will nourish thee with bread. And the word nourish means to comfort or to give that ample supply of what somebody's needing at that time. Hey, can I tell you folks, I know there's people in this congregation here this morning, you're hurting. You're hurting. There's somebody in here hurt. I know what I'm talking about. Okay? There's probably somebody over here, you're smiling. But deep inside, you're hurting. There's probably somebody right here. You're probably smiling. Somebody call you on the phone. How you doing? I'm doing fine. How about you? But deep inside, you're hurting. There's somebody probably right here, probably within an arm's reach. I'm not for sure. You're dealing with things just only you and God know about, but you're hurting. Everywhere I go, it seems like nowadays, and it's prevalent, the economy's upside down. I mean, things are happening. All the things that are taking place on TV, it's just bad doom, gloom. This man's killing a 4-year-old child. This one's killing a 4-month-old baby. This one over here is taking advantage of this little girl. I mean, it's just one thing after another. You don't know if you're going to have your job next week. And I'm telling you, you're getting bad news, and you're really hurting under a smile. I borrow this. You hungry? Are you hurting? Joseph was the Savior, was a type of Christ, the Savior. He said, come to the land of Goshen, and he says, as long as you stay around me, I'll give you bread to nourish you. Right here. How come when we go through situations and trials, I'll give this back to you. King James, hope so. How come when we go through trials, this is the first thing we give up? We all right? How come when we're hurting, this is the first thing we give up? Y'all lay man over here a little bit better over there. How come that this is the first thing we give up? When Joseph says, hey, you just come to the land of Goshen and stay around me, he says, I'll nourish thee. We take out on God because we go through trials. We get bitter instead of getting better. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll what? Because why? Thou hast what? He's with me, but what does he do? He comforts me, but what did he give him? He prepared what? A table. A table. You want to know what? That table was before his enemies. And God fed him before his enemies in his trials and the shadow of death. And that valley was deep. That valley was discouraging. That valley was depressing. But I'm going to tell you, God has given us a table in the midst of all that. And he feeds us before the presence of our enemies. But yet when something happens, it's all your fault, God. I don't know why you let this happen to me. Well, why not you? Why not you? Well, I don't want to go through that. Well, I don't enjoy them no more than you do. I was in a low ebb 3.5 weeks ago. Been a little bit longer than that. I mean, sister, I was low. I didn't even tell my wife how bad it was. But I was in a low. Man, it was just dark, depressing. And I told you what. The Saturday before I left to go to Alaska, I said, I got to go pray. So I called up my buddy Darren, your pastor. Y'all probably didn't even know it. I said, Pastor Darren, I said, I need to borrow your prophet's chamber for a Saturday. Do you hear me? I said, I need to borrow your prophet's chamber, Pastor, for a Saturday. And I showed up here about 9 o'clock that morning, Saturday morning. He gave me the keys to the prophet's chamber, to the church, to your building over there. I mean, he says, just help yourself and pray wherever you want to. Go to the crosses and pray. Did y'all hear what I'd done? I didn't go say, God, it's your fault. I'm blaming you. But you want to know what? Let me tell you what it did. It drew me to him. It drew me to him. Heard your testimony when you went through all that throat stuff. You says, it's so good, Pastor, to be in church. I don't ever get to be in church. You know what you were saying? I'm getting fed from the Word of God. It's something that I was needing at the time. God brought that sickness to her. She could have said, well, God, you know I'm out there singing for you every Sunday when camp meetings come up. I'm over at Trinity. I'm singing for them. I'm going to WGCR. I'm singing for them. Why my throat? No, she just said, boy, I'm just so glad that I can be in the house of God, sit under good preaching of Pastor Darren Waldrop, get fed by the Word of God, let the Word of God nourish me in my times of trouble, let God's Word just comfort me when I needed it. Hey, I come out of that house that Saturday. I'm going to tell you, God give me more than I could write down. Brother Darren, I called him. I says, I'm done. He says, you're done. I says, God give me exactly what I needed. I got into the book of Esther, started to read that. God give me an outline for something that I'll use later on down the road. But he said, boy, God sure did speak to you, didn't you? I said, yes, he did. I said, God help me that day. But I got in there and got to praying and got into God's Word, and God's Word started to work in my heart and started to comfort me and started just to bring some joy back into my life, and realizing it wasn't that bad. God was in control, but it was in His Word. Amen. How come this is the first thing we give up? Is there a check in there for me?
Yeah.
Any good outlines?
Yeah.
Sorry, brother. I'm ruining your Bible.
How
come God wants to help us? He said, just come to the land of Goshen. Stay by me. He says, I'll nourish thee. Take your Bibles. Go to Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 15. Did Joseph nourish his family? Now watch this. Joseph's dad died. Here, I turned it for you so you don't get lost. Joseph's dad's died. In verse number 15 of Genesis 50, watch this. Watch this. This is key. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us now. Now, he just said just 3 chapters ago, I'll nourish thee. Did he not? He said, I'll take care of you. Now, dad's dying. Now, brothers are fearing because of all the stuff they did to their brothers in the past. But watch this. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, the father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye so say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of the brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servant of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Wonder why. Watch this. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servant. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. All right? You all watching this? Next verse. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass. And it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you, and for your little ones, and comfort them, and speak kindly unto them. Your little ones. Folks, if you're tearing God down in your troubles, your children are watching. It's all God's fault. Oh, he's going to hate us. It's his problems. And now, oh, we're just in a mess. Boy, it's a whole lot better to open up the Word of God and says, children, and I do this with mine. When we get in situations, I just say, God's going to do something. And they see us reading the Word of God and having devotions and praying and getting that comfort. You want me to tell you what? There's some of you in here, and I just know there is. There's some of y'all in here, you need some comfort this morning. And you put aside what will comfort you the most. Why do I keep coming over here? You're putting aside what will comfort you the most. It's this Bible, this bread. He'll nourish you and comfort you in a time of need. It'll help the hungry. It'll help the hurting. Psalms 104, verse number 15. Psalms 104, and I'm trying to hurry. Psalms 104, of course, this is talking about God and the tribe of Israel. And he's coming down and he's talking about everything he did. Psalms 104, and let's go back to verse number 13. Of course, this is everything he, it's God, watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow from the cattle, and herbs for the service of men, that he may bring forth good food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of men, and oil to make the face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth, what? Do what? Man's heart. We are so health crazy in this old world. The Bible says to be fat and flourishing. Took it literally. But we got people taking prescriptions. I mean, they got commercials for Lipozine. I mean, a pill that just melts the fat away. I mean, we got pills on there to take the arthritis pain instantly. Man, it's a miracle drug. I mean, we've got Lipitor, and I know these are things that people need. We've got everything that we need. And people, and I don't go out here and say, well, the preacher said you don't need to take pills. I have a prescription myself. I've got to take it every day. If I don't, I'm in a mess. I'm in a mess. So I believe in prescription drugs to a degree. But we got these vitamins. I mean, they got this shake stuff to make you into Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, they've got it all. I'll be Bach. You be Bach, okay? We've got it all. We do. We got every pill. I mean, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C. I mean, we got Centrum for men, Centrum for women. I mean, we got green tea. It's this energy drink you buy in a can, 5-hour energy. Just give me a cup of coffee, keep your energy drinks. I mean, we got all this stuff, and everybody's going crazy over being healthy. We want to be healthy physically and live forever. We which that's fine. I mean, I'm enjoying my journey down here. And I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord, my Savior, face to face. But I am also looking forward, maybe one day walking my daughters down the aisle and giving them, Lord, let the rapture happen first. Please. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And before they turn 16 and drive, you know what I'm talking about? We want to live forever. Stay healthy. We got a bunch of anemic Christians that are not healthy. Now, I don't want you to show your hands, and I'm not bragging on myself, but how many of y'all in here, and I think we need to have a class in our Baptist church on how to refute the Jehovah's Witnesses. We got a lot of unhealthy Christians that can't even lead somebody through the plan of salvation. The only Bible you hear is when the preacher says, open up your Bible, and that's it. I can't stand going through a church. Can I tell you something about just pet peeve? Can I tell you a pet peeve of mine? I don't know how y'all do it, but somebody will inevitably leave their Bible here for Sunday night. How do you do that? What if God speaks to you? Say, open up my word. I want to show you something. Well, I can't, Lord. My Bible's at church. Well, why don't you have it? This will keep your heart healthy, God says. Bread. Bread will keep your heart healthy. And we got a lot of anemic Christians today that are not doing well. How are you doing today? I know these people that you get around, you don't want to ask them how they're doing because my toe hurts, my back hurts, my hair hurts. You know, I mean, they go through this long list. Where's that little girl at this morning I was picking on? Where are you at? You in here? Did you raise your hand? I was picking on that little girl not to smile because it's Sunday. Where are you at? She in here somewhere? She's shy, isn't she? Where's she at? There she is. Stand up. What did I tell you? I said, don't smile because it's what? It's Sunday, but don't smile now. Now look, everybody up here is smiling and you're contagious. Look, now the whole congregation's smiling. What are we going to do with you? Don't smile, it's just Sunday. We're here to serve, you know, worship the Lord. Don't smile. Amen. Thank you, sister. But we're just here to worship the Lord. To come and to get healthy and like that one about the septic system. Man, that's brilliant. I don't know if y'all enjoyed that, but I did. That's pretty good. I'm going to use that back at home because they haven't used that yet. I'm going to use it back at home. But it's something that will keep the good bacterias in and keep the bad bacterias out. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God says, hey, this will keep you healthy. How come we don't want to stay healthy for God? I run into a Mormon in Alaska. That was interesting. We just went door to door, passed out over 250 scriptures, Bibles to homes. Three people professed to get saved, but I run into more Mormons than I knew what to do with. And this one lady, she was very versed into Mormonism. Very versed. And she come down through, and she was coming from right, from Genesis right on up through. And she was pretty decent. I was letting her just go a little while. And she said, do you know David? And I said, oh, yeah. The Bible says in the New Testament he's a man after God's own heart. You know, she said, he's not in heaven. I said, really? Can I have scripture for that one, ma'am? She says, well, I just know. I says, well, how do you know? She said, I got insight. I said, how do I get your insight, ma'am? I said, I may be missing it. Tell me how I get this. She says, well, you got to get the atonement. I said, what's the atonement? She says, well, she says, it's just doing this and doing that. And I said, but tell me, ma'am, what's the atonement? I don't want to miss it. I said, ma'am, you want to know what the true atonement is? She says, his name's Jesus. I says, he died on the cross of Calvary for you, ma'am. And I says, he died, and on the third glorious day, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, this is the gospel, that he died, he was buried, and on the third day rose again. I says, it's all through Jesus and him alone. And I says, I know where you're going next, man, before you even go there. I says, you're going to go to the baptism. I says, I've already dealt with a lot of y'all. And she says, yeah, you got to be baptized. I said, thief on the cross, was it?
Exactly right. You're
Now, what if I've never read my word and that lady sat there and gobbled me up? I'd have been embarrassed. But I asked the lady, she said, well, he went to a special place. I said, ma'am, I said, according to the word of God, the rich man went to hell. Lazarus was sitting in the bosom of Abraham. I said, there's only two places in God's word. And I says, and you'll never show me anything different. Keeps me healthy. I like a good challenge like that. Gets my blood boiling. And I don't back down from it, not that I'm anybody. And I don't know everything about God's word. I had one guy says I was studying the book of Daniel, and he said, oh, yeah. I told him what I was doing. He said, oh, I'm an expert at Daniel. I said, I appreciate you telling me, sir. He said, why? Because I said, I'm never going to ask you a question. I haven't found anybody an expert on the word of God except Jesus himself. Y'all all right? Luke 15, and we'll hurry. Man, I'm getting bogged down. I got to hurry. Luke 15. Bread will help the hungry. Bread will help the hurting. Bread will keep you healthy. But watch this. Bread will help the homeless. Bread will help the homeless. Verse number 12 of Luke 15, and I'm about done. Of course, this is the story of the prodigal son. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. We'll stop there. That prodigal son was telling his dad, Dad, I don't want you, but I want what you have. You know what a lot of people are doing in church? God, I don't want you, but I want what you have. Y'all hear me? I don't want you, but I want what you have. God bless me, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. But God, I don't want to have anything else to do with it, but just God bless me. There's more to that, to Christianity, than just saying God bless me. And he wasted his substance. And all of a sudden, there was a famine in the land. Test you out here. Verse number 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of a country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain to have filled his belly with the husk that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him. Let me stop right there, you teenagers. I don't know why. I'm going to stop. I don't know why God just made me do this. How many of y'all got cars? Teenagers? Got a bunch of friends? You got more when you got a car, didn't you? Huh? You did, didn't you? Can you take me home? Can I tell you something? When that thing breaks down, you ain't gonna have no friends. You listening to me? I'm giving you some good advice. All right? Okay? Because it'll come. I promise you. I had a car, teenager. Man, I had more friends than I knew. I couldn't even fit them in the back seat. I could have made it into the Guinness World Book Records how many people I fit in that back seat. But when my car broke down, son, I didn't have no friends. Okay? I don't know why, but God stopped me there. Am I okay? Am I okay? Y'all agree with that? I felt a stump there. I probably should go back and hit that again. But he spent all he had. And he had all these friends. Y'all listen to me? He had all these friends when the money was a-rolling.
Yes, sir.
And all of a sudden, the money quit. And there was a famine in the land. Y'all paying attention? Y'all listen to me? Y'all with me? He had everybody. He had friends. I mean, they were living the good life. They were out there doing all that sorts of stuff. And all of a sudden, it dried up. And now he's wallowing around in the pig slop. In the junk of this whole world. Can I tell you, sin will do that to you? It'll take you right on down. There may be somebody in here this morning, you're living in sin. You're living in sin, and only you and God know about it. Your dad don't know about it. Your mom don't know about it. When they go to bed, you may be getting on that computer, looking at junk you don't need to be looking at, listening to things that your parents don't approve of, and you're living a lifestyle, a double-edged lifestyle on Sunday morning. in the name of Jesus. But on Monday at night when everybody goes to bed, you're clicking right behind that door and you're looking at junk you shouldn't. It'll take you where you don't want to go. It'll take you where you don't want to go, and you'll end up in the pig slump. Oh, I know it's true. But I'm glad there's a way out. Y'all ready? Verse number 17. And when he came to himself, I like that. I like it. I haven't always been, after I got saved, I haven't always lived like I should. Okay, I'm just being honest. I mean, God knows about it. I mean, I told him and confessed it to him. Haven't always acted right. I mean, I get mad. My fuse is about that long most of the time, short fused. Get mad, aggravated. Drivers, I mean, people that just do stuff, just absolutely just flies all over me. You know, I don't always act right. I'm glad y'all do. I'm glad there's some in here, amen. And it said this in verse number 17. How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough? Can I tell you, there's bread enough this morning for you? Because there's plenty left over in God's house. Just his servant says there will, even they could fill them up. I mean, kick back and say, oh, I feel so miserable. And all of a sudden, he says, hey, they even have more bread left over. I mean, there's plenty of bread for the homeless. And then finally this morning, go back to our scriptures of John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And while you're going there, I'm going to Luke chapter 105, or Psalms 105, for those that are taking their notes. 105. Psalms 105, and I'm coming to John 6, so you just go to John 6 for the sake of time. Psalms 105, verse 40 says this, and the people asked, the tribe of Israel asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with bread of heaven. Now, Luke chapter number 6, I call it the big bread chapter. I mean, it's just all about bread. It starts out in bread, of the feeding of the 5,000. And then it goes into the great discourse of the bread of life. And he says, I am the bread of life. He's what is what everybody needs, is that bread. And he is what, he says, all those that will eat of me will be what? Satisfied. Now I'm going to tie all these together. Now give me just a few minutes and I'm done. I was raised Catholic most of my life. My mom aside, most of everybody was all Catholic. I was an altar boy. I mean, I did it all in the Catholic Church. Lit the candles, prayed. I mean, I can even quote the prayer today of the beads of the Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with me. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And I'm 40 years old. Still quoted today. But I met a blonde-headed girl when I was about 19, somewhere in there. Told her I was 20. Didn't tell her for a long time because I didn't think she'd date me. It's before I got saved, okay? God forgive all my sins.
Amen.
And I met her, and so she went to Hooper's Creek Baptist Church with the late Pastor Lawrence Rhodes. That's where she was raised at. And so we started to court talk a little bit. I mean, we went out on a dinner. She looked at me, I looked at her, through the familiar stuff, what's your favorite colors, what do you like to do, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. She said, you want to go to church? Well, I have never been raised in a Baptist church, never. So I said, sure, but all I was really, I didn't know anything about lost. You listen to me. I didn't know what lost was. I didn't know the plan of salvation. I didn't know Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I was in my coming up on my 20s. I've never had it but one boy in my whole life witness to me and ask me if I was lost. One. And I said, sure, I'll go to church. But I just wanted to be with her. I didn't really care. What's church, you know? All I thought of was Catholic, man. It's kneel, bow, pray, saints, sing, Latin, all that stuff. So I didn't know there was any difference. So I was waiting, and I was waiting in the parking lot. I told her, don't tell her, I told her I'd meet her at church. She thought I said I was going to pick her up, but she was wrong. Okay? Don't tell her, she was wrong. And so I waited. She didn't show up because she was waiting on me at the house, and I'm waiting for her at the church, you know. Well, it's 11 o'clock, and I said, well, I'll go in. I'm here anyways, you know. What's it going to hurt? So like good lost people do, good Baptists, you know, they try to get the back row. Amen. So I got about three rows from the back, sit on the left side of the church, and they were sitting there singing a song about heaven. I don't know what the song, I just knew it was about heaven, you know. Well, that was all right. Well, they got to singing that, and they got to singing, and like y'all, I mean, like this lady up here that took a shouting fit, man, I saw it coming. I mean, it was like a tea kettle. It was about to blow. And I was sitting there listening. The more they sang it, you know, the louder it got. And the louder it got, the more they sang it. The more they sang it, the louder it got. And I was like, well. And all to a sudden, this lady in front of me, son, she went, woo! Well, talking about a boy that's never been in that. I was scared to death. I mean, I was ready to crawl under that pew. Y'all hear me? I was. I mean, it frightened me to know. I was waiting for snakes to come out. I mean, I heard about that stuff in the mountains, you know. They just, you know. I ain't kidding you now. That's what I was thinking. I was looking for a box, man. I'm telling you, I was going to make a door. Son, I was going out that stained glass door. I was sitting by stained glass, too, and I was about ready to go out. But she got to shouting. Well, all of a sudden, who I know now is Mr. George Fowler. Up here in the front, his face plum red. Walk around. Well, I've never experienced anything like that. Well, I didn't get saved that day, but I do remember that lady that stood up in front of me. Her name's Miss Peggy Anderson. I believe she's the one that prayed me in. I really do, because that prayer I never got away from, sister. I never got away from that prayer. And she stood up with tears in her eyes. You know what I'm talking about, them prayers that you just can't get away from no matter what you do? But I can remember even today, I can close my eyes and visualize it even today. Where she stood up with tears rolling down her cheeks because she was shouting about going to heaven. And I'm excited about that. Y'all excited about that? Amen. And she was crying with tears in her eyes. And while we shout about heaven, we should have a burden for others to go with us. And she said, Pastor, we need to pray for the lost. Somebody needs to get saved. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand saved, lost, Holy Ghost conviction, none of that. Well, my wife and I have been married 18 years. 18 years. We moved and went to Fletcher First Baptist Church, Pastor Roy Waldrop. And the man loves you to no end. And I wasn't used to men hugging me. Y'all hear me? I wasn't raised that way. My papa was, you shake man's hand. The way my daddy taught me. But son, he reached up there and he grabbed me. And I never forgot what he said. He said, son, I love you. I love you. And he covered me in his love. And in November of 1998, I'll never forget it. I've never been to an altar. Never. I've never come to a Baptist altar. And that was, I was 26 years old. We were married when we got 21. I was 21 years old. 20 going on 21 when I married my wife. I guess something like that. But I've never been to a Baptist altar. We just went to church because I knew my wife was raised in church. And I never did want to hinder her from that. But I'll never forget that Sunday morning, sitting on the left hand over there. They got the man of God got to preaching. And here was somebody that was hurting. And the man of God was pouring out the Word of God, that bread of life. And I was hurting. Not only that was I hurting, but I was unhealthy. And boy, he kept pouring out that Word of God and that Word of God. Not only was I unhealthy, but I was homeless. I was a man without a country. See, I was doomed and on my way to hell at that moment of my life. And boy, I remember coming down. I've never been, but something got a hold of me that day, Brother Edwards. And I come out on my own and come down, and I knelt. I could take you to the spot of the old church. I took my daughters there just about a month, a little bit over the beginning of the year. I took my daughters back there, and I said, I want you to know, because they've only known a saved daddy. They've never known a lost daddy. Amen. And so I took my daughters over, and I said, Haley, Hannah, I said, that's where God changed your daddy. Because I was hurting so bad. Boy, I was so unhealthy. And I was so homeless. But boy, back in November of 1998, I don't know the date, what it is. Some people get hung up on that, but I'm sorry, I just don't remember it. But all I do know is that I've been changed. And boy, he took a hurting old boy down there that day of November of 1998, and he started to comfort me and rub the balm of Gilead all over that. And he washed me in the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed me, made me clean. He took somebody that was unhealthy, anemic. I didn't have nothing to offer him. He took a nobody, made a somebody out of them. I was homeless, and he put me on the path, that straight and narrow way. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm sitting down in heavenly places in the mind of God. I'm already there. Hey, I'm telling you, because somebody give me the bread of life. Somebody give me the bread of life. Hey, and it's been helping me ever since. I get in that Bible. I tell my wife, don't bother me. I got to get something from God today. Hey, he'll do the same for you. So can I tell you this morning, folks, Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, there's benefits in bread. You got your Bibles this morning? Raise them up, because there's benefits in bread. Are you hurting this morning, ma'am? Are you hurting this morning, sir? There's benefits in bread. I'm telling you, are you unhealthy this morning, ma'am? Are you unhealthy this morning, sir? Have you got out of the Word of God? You're not praying like you used to. You don't smile like you used to. You don't have the joy like you used to. Well, why don't you be just like David and says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Get in the Word of God. There's benefits there. And there may be somebody here this morning that you're homeless. Can I tell you, Jesus loves you, and he'll save you. He wants to, more than probably you want to. But he died on the cross, man, specifically for you. Sir, he died specifically for you. Son, he died specifically for you. Daughter, he died specifically for you. And there's benefits in bread. What are you doing with it? And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments. What are we going to do with all that bread?